We open our Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I wanted to ask a question. How well do you receive instruction? Now, for me, sometimes that's hard in various capacities, in various times and places. Sometimes I hear directions for how to put something together. We order something in the mail, whether it's a piece of furniture, and my son loves Legos. So he and I together work on it, and he's better at it than I am. But we'll look at it, and he's able to figure it out, but I like to try to figure it out without the instructions, and I almost always mess it up. I've already decided in my mind what it should look like. Often I miss the purpose of something when I have such a mindset. An experience I go through, even, not just putting physical things together, but an experience in my life, a goal in my life, a way that I'm supposed to be operating in my life in various circumstances and relationships. Sometimes, though, I have to let go of my preferences and my preconceived notions about how things should be. Sometimes what I thought was valuable in any given situation has to be damaged or done away with, like the Lego. It has to not work, can't quite fit it together, before I realize that my idea was not actually valuable. It's what's in the instruction manual. I was thinking about an experience I had, really a 5 and more year experience. I had seizures. Well, I have a seizure condition, but it's been a long while since I've had one. I started having seizures right after my wife and I were married, and this was the January of 2012. I realized after going through that experience, having to have others drive me places, I had to go 6 months without a seizure before I could drive or climb ladders or various other things, how much I valued my independence, being able to do things my way at all times, being able to drive in particular. But I had some really good and interesting interactions through that. A lot more time spent in the car with somebody, including my wife, other family members, and a lot of my coworkers at different times were also very gracious. There's conversations that happened because I had that condition, which decreased my independence, which made me be forced to see what was truly valuable. It wasn't my way of doing things in this case. Eventually, though, I did have a brain surgery back in 2017, 5 years into this condition, and that did allow me to gain some independence again. But I'll have you know, I'm still a work in progress with my attitudes that I had to deal with. But that whole experience helps me to see what is truly valuable. What is truly valuable is nothing in and of or for myself. It's all what God wants to teach us through our life circumstances. It's about our relationships being strengthened. It's about God's word going forth in my life as what I thought was valuable and important to me is stripped away. That was Jesus' challenge when he shared the parable of the soils in Luke 8. And his follow-up statement here is interesting. If you look at Luke 8, there's an illustration that was helping me. This idea of a clay pitcher. Consider this. There's a clay pitcher next to one. They look exactly the same or very similar. In one, there's this treasure. Imagine there's a lamp inside. You don't know, though. Side by side, they look the same. What has to happen, the only way inside that clay pitcher, the lamp, is to crack it open. To open it up, sometimes shatter it. But it must be chipped away to see the light. It looks the same until it starts cracking. With some light shining through, then, the value, though, could not be seen. The light could not be seen until what was made of dirt was chipped and removed. So Luke 8, 16 to 21. Let's read that together. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Let's stop there for a moment. Verse 16, the purpose of a lamp, as we see, it's to put it on a lampstand so that all who are in the house would be given light, so you can see what's there. Otherwise, you trip over things, you get hurt if there's no light. So it shows that someone is home, too. Consider that. You put a lamp on a lampstand, means I'm ready to receive company. Come, gather, especially in this time. If the light's not on, don't bother me, right? I'm not home, maybe. To light a lamp and do anything except put it on a lampstand is ridiculous. Jesus is clearly pointing that out. If you put it inside a container, you're going to snuff out the light. Put it under a bed, no one's going to see it. So the point here we can see is that everyone does do something with the light. But there's only one good purpose for it. So verse 18, he says, take care how you listen. What does he mean, take care how you listen? He had just told a parable about the seed going to different soils. The seed is the word of God, so something to be listened to. There's a way that must be acted upon. And it's not always the same. It's not always the right way. Again, there's one purpose for the lamp. There was one good soil which received the seed. The good soil let the seed take root, transform it, make it grow a hundredfold, he says. But a container of a lamp, again, it's going to snuff out the flame. It's as if it never had the light. It might as well not have had a lamp in it. Putting lamp under a bed, the secrets that I'm hiding under my bed are going to be clear. Whatever I have hidden under my bed, you're going to see it. But the purpose to give light in the house, again, will not be fulfilled. When he says then, what is hidden will become evident, the secrets will be known and come to light, in verse 17, it's no matter what, what's inside you is going to be made known. Whether you like that or not, whether you intend that or not. The lamp on the lampstand, it permeates the light in the house, reveals what is there, shows that someone wants you to come in. And he says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever has what, is the question. Understanding. The one who has understanding of the value of the Word of God, the need of the light. In other words, I'm dark without that light. To have that understanding, more will be given. In other words, more of what I understand I need will be given. More understanding even of that need will be given. They had an understanding of how to use the lamp, the one who put the lamp on the lampstand. They had the light, more would be given. A greater experience of that light. In other words, it's a picture of the greater experience of the Christ life in a person. Like the good soil. The seed took root, grew a hundredfold. Jesus is speaking there by way of hyperbole. It's not going to be measurable growth. Hundredfold. A greater experience of the Christ life for one who would receive, the one who has understanding of their need. For whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken from him. That's interesting. Someone thinks they have something, but they really don't. What is that? Life. They think they have understanding of what life really is, how to live their life. But if that is done apart from Christ, not according to the Word of God, which truly makes the soil, really makes a person fruitful, full of life, then what they have will be taken. In other words, what you think is your life. Anything temporary, of course, anything in this world will not last forever. Jesus is offering a life, though, that is eternal through his word, through faith. Just receiving, humbly, recognizing my need. So the main idea here, what we see, Jesus' word should examine our lives as we boldly share him. It's the fruitfulness. Like the good soil. Again, it's when it's fruitful, there's seed inside the fruit. So if one is fruitful, then what is implied is the word of God. You're full of it. Now you can share it, the word of God. So as we understand this, he's going to give a greater grace to live it out. That is what it is to be full of light. Full of the Christ life. And it's something that one can't help but share. The nature of light is to shine. Now, if it's just placed in a lampstand, so to speak, a high place somewhere up where it can't be snuffed out, won't be hidden, of course, it's going to be seen. That's all it's about. Jesus is not looking for us to work for him, to earn anything. He's just saying, let your light shine. Freely give as you've been freely given. That is what it is to be full of light. Now, verses 19 and 21, through 21. Luke 8, 19 to 21. His mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." We can see then what he had just said with the parable of the soils. The one receiving it in a humble and good heart springs up, produces fruit. The one who puts the lamp on the lampstand, just saying, just to let it shine. That is the one who is Jesus' family. It's a submission to what is truly life. It's a sharing in the Christ life. Recognizing I have no life of my own. There's nothing truly of value in Tyler Shepherd apart from the gracious act of God. Praise the Lord for what he's done for me and what he's done for every child of God. That's the message. Just let that life live through you. It's not something I have to try to figure out, but to actually cease from trying to figure it out on my own resources. So an application, what does it look like in our lives? There's a transforming work to be done. And I have this natural life I'm living. He wants me to greater understand the supernatural life I've been given in Christ. So temporary or natural and spiritual is another way to put it. Fleshly and spiritual. Like a clay pitcher with a lamp inside. The more it is cracked, the more you see the light. That represents our flesh, the cracked clay, that dirt. Again, when God created Adam and Eve, how did he create them? Do you remember? Yeah, from the dust of the ground. He formed him and he breathed. That breath of life. His spirit, the Ruach Elohim, means the spirit of God. Adam and Eve were spiritual in the beginning. And then they sinned. They thought they could have life in and of themselves. Eve saw the fruit on the tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They already had the knowledge of good and evil because they had a loving father who said, all those trees are good. That one, no. They had the knowledge, all the knowledge they needed as they were walking in the garden with God. It's all about a relationship with our Creator. That's what he wants us to experience to a greater extent. It's an awesome thing. That's what Jesus is saying here. He came to redeem mankind for our original purpose, to reflect God's glory, to share in his life, in his presence, in fellowship, in enjoyment of him. That's what we're for. To submit to and enjoy God. There's nothing better than being able to enjoy our Creator in Christ, having that life in us. So back to the metaphor then of the clay pitcher. If that represents me, I'm okay with those pieces falling off because that gives me a greater experience of what is truly of value, Christ's life in me. And it's greater display then of others around me too. The fact, though, of the matter is we live in a world that tempts us in various ways, right? We have our own perspectives. We have our own plans. We think we can come up with our own purpose for life. And it is rewarding to a certain extent. We can really go after things and attain to a lot. But does it really satisfy? Does it fully satisfy as the way we're meant to be satisfied in Christ? Are you satisfied in Christ today? Is the question. He has a plan put together with perfect faithfulness from the beginning to redeem those who would have faith. I don't know about you, but there's times where considering the clay pot, the pieces falling off, I like to try to put those back together. My plans, my purposes, my perspective, my power or my ways. I try to do things. Because I think there's some value in those fleshly efforts. What does that do, though? Well, first, people can see right through that. The way we try to put ourselves together, it's nothing like what God can do. Ultimately, we can't fix ourselves. On the surface, yeah, maybe for a time, we can fool people. But it also quenches the work of the Holy Spirit who wants to shine through us. Letting go of that natural honors God, glorifies Him, shows us the power of God and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have a greater experience of Him. I don't know about you too, I also look at others' lives. I compare myself. Who here compares themselves to other people? Let's be honest. Probably every single person sitting in this room at some point, probably at some point this last week, at least in a little way, you compared yourself to somebody. It's easy to look at somebody's clay pitcher, so to speak, representative of their natural life, and be envious. Maybe it's shinier. Maybe it's the color I want to be. Maybe there's more facets to it, more jewels attached, whatever. Still natural. Still only of value when it's cracked open, really fully demolished one day. So I must not try to put myself back together. I must not judge myself or others by natural standards. But seek to have Christ's perspective. If you're a child of God, He's made you new. There's this life to experience in greater capacities. It takes, though, letting go of our plans, our purposes for ourselves, our power, our strength, our own resources, to boil it down. We're not to live on our own resources, but by the resources God provides in Christ. He's so gracious. He's such a loving Father. There's nothing greater than knowing Him. So the call to sonship in Christ, when we're cracked open, so to speak, the light of Christ is seen even more. We're revealed to be His children as His character is seen. The treasure inside, which is truly life-giving, is Jesus Christ Himself. It's not just this set of doctrines. It's not these religious practices. It's the very life of God in relationship with our Redeemer. I don't know about you, I want to seek a greater understanding of that. I don't have it all figured out. That's the most awesome thing He's designed us for. So yeah, I might try to seek to make myself look good on the outside. But that's not what life is about. Really, we're accountable to one in the end, the one who's created us for a purpose. I'm not going to stand before the throne of God someday and be able to make excuses. Well, I did this or I did that. Wasn't it pleasing? Oh, I was as good as this person at that. Well, this person approved of me in this life, and this person's important. They have a lot of influence and power. That's not going to matter in the end. We're going to stand before a holy and just and loving God. If you're in Christ, what is he going to see? When we stand before him, that clay pitcher, so to speak, is not going to be there anymore. If Christ is in you, what is going to be seen is that light. And he's going to look at you, child of God, and say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's going to see his son. Not a thing that we accomplished, none of our failures are what he's going to see. So the true family of God, again, what Jesus said of his mother and brothers, the one who's my mother, the one who's my brother, is the one who hears the word of God and does it. So let's think about that. It's not a checklist doing. It's a submission, a letting go of my natural ways, holding to the faith. He wants us to hold to the faith. He wants us to strive by the power of the Spirit, letting go of our natural ways. Putting that lamp on a lampstand, inviting others into that house. What he's saying is, just in purity, guys, recognize all you have is that light. The most important thing is that light that I've given you. And it's something through which you invite others into that life. Again, the picture of being in a house, it's a shared life. In Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy, he says, you're the household of God, the pillar and support of the truth. In other words, we demonstrate Christ in our midst. We should be seeking to have a greater revelation of that. And that's what we are inviting others into. It's a shared life, the very life of God. So in conclusion, there's a couple questions this was asking me that it would be important for us to reflect upon. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to examine your life? Again, there's nothing hidden that won't be made known. So yeah, putting that lamp under the bed where we tend to put stuff we don't want people to see, it's going to be made known. When a lamp is put on a lampstand, every nook and cranny, crack and corner of that house is seen. So when something is seen that is not pleasing to the Lord and somehow is hindering his work in my life, I have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, you can take that. Please take that. Thank you for your grace. You're not taking away the light. You're taking away that which hinders the light being seen. That's the gracious work God is doing for all of us as his children. If you are to receive Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, that's the life he's calling into you. It's a life of sacrifice. It's not made to be easy. It's not made to always be comfortable, but there's joy. In the midst of our tribulation, we ultimately have hope. And our hope doesn't disappoint. Why? Because we have the light of God, the very life of Christ in us. And the second question, are you inviting people into the life which Jesus offers? And we have opportunities to do that as we're thinking about as a church, this Who's Your One initiative. It's all about thinking of at least one person, but focus, really. One person who you can pray for every day. You can pray Scripture over people. Scripture instructs us to pray, but we also, just as an example, how we can pray. Pray with me as I can demonstrate for you how we can pray Scripture. Let's go back to that Romans 5. In all sincerity, let's pray this way. In Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Well, Lord, we thank you that we have been justified in your Son, that we receive by faith that which you've done for us. Just pray, Lord, for those we know who don't know you or far from you, that they would, by faith, see the value that there is in being right with you. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that peace, that we can strive in this life knowing that it's not about this life. Just pray your peace over those we know. that you would help them to see that there is life beyond this life. Thank you that not only do we have peace through you, but we have obtained through you our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Thank you, Lord, that you've given grace, that we're not going to fall as you've called us to. You are giving us grace to stand on your promises. Just pray, Lord, you'd continue to help us to walk out this life as we've been introduced in the faith. Help us to see there's a lot of room for growth. And just pray, Lord, that over those who don't know you, that they would receive the introduction by faith, that they would come into the house where we are putting that lamp on the lampstand, that they would see your life. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to see you one day face to face. That we're going to see, we're going to fully know as we are fully known. Thank you for the awesome promise. Not only this, we also exult in our tribulations. Thank you, Lord, that you're taking out of the way what we could put our hope in. Through our various sufferings, you're so good. You're so mighty. You're a loving Father. You're with us. Thank you, Lord, that through our suffering, you prove that you are a good Father, that you are working in and through us. Because you are bringing about perseverance. Thank you, Lord, that you would help us do that. Just pray, God, for your church in these days when this world is getting so dark, darker than it ever has been. Help us to persevere in the faith, to prove that you are truly who you say you are, that proven character you talk about, that we would reflect you to the nations. We would reflect you to our neighborhoods here. We'd reflect you to our friends and neighbors and family and one another as we, as the family of God, seek you. And thank you for that hope, that we have a certain hope. Pray, Lord, that those who are hopeless would see that hope, that we would shine that light into the dark places. Help us boldly, Lord, to hold out that hope, regardless of what people think of us. We pray for this upcoming outreach with the Hoosier One. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Help us to be discerning as we seek which one or ones we are to pray for and share with and serve and invite. Just pray that you'd open doors, Lord. We thank you that you have in the last weeks and months, and you continue to. Help us to be sensitive to the work of your Spirit and all you're doing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.